Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
All right, welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, episode number 4. I want to kind of talk about some things that happened this week, and one of them is Ben sent me a message from Paul Washer, and I was looking to be encouraged by that message, but it was actually discouraging in a good way. You kind of ripped my face off, and I was convicted by a lot of things, and I was like, man, I thought Ben was giving me something in the midweek to boost me for the hump day that we were going through. I was expecting about encouragement, God loves me, but it was definitely things that I was doing wrong. So it was a help to me spiritually. I had to go and take care of some things on the spiritual level. But I didn't appreciate it at the time that Ben sent it. I thought it was good. And then 55 minutes later, half my face was hanging off like a Miss Doubtfire at the restaurant. It was bad. And I already have a radio face. So that was not a good thing. So how was your week been there, Ben?
It was good, man. That message I sent you, it was actually for a youth group. He was preaching to a youth group. So yeah, he's pretty hardcore, man. So you know what? I'll send you a Joel Osteen message next time, man. For all of you listening out there, do not listen to Joel Osteen. I'm just saying he's not a good preacher.
Strike that from the record.
Yeah, strike that, please. Maybe I should just edit that out from the podcast. I don't know, man. But no, it was a good week. Had the privilege on Friday to take a family to the airport, who was going to Nigeria. Their missionaries going to Nigeria, and so it was a privilege to drop them off. And man, I didn't know that you could like pack that much luggage. I mean, there must
they
have
put their kids in there to save some on the airfare.
Well, you know, that's a thing. You know, we found out that I guess you can only have 100 pounds per, you know, per box or per luggage item. And so one of the boxes we had to kind of break down a little bit because it was over 100 pounds, actually a couple boxes. But there must've been 15 items of luggage plus the boxes. I mean, there was a ton. But I guess if you're moving to Nigeria, I mean, that's what you're taking, man. So, but it was a blessing to get them off. And, I did get word that they landed, safely. And so, hopefully they hit the ground running, and we're just going to pray for souls and pray for their ministry. But
I don't think the church moving team goes that far, do they?
You know what, man? I don't know. Maybe if we got to plan ahead, man, and I guess we'll have to get some donations for some flights. He told me, it's funny, you know, the brother that I took to the airport, he's like, hey, Ben, if you have your passport, man, you can just keep right on going with us. And I'm like, hey, you know. But
did you have your passport?
Not on me, man.
I just got mine back. It took him like 7 months. So,
you know what? I think my passport is only for, because I think they have one that's, you know, overseas or something. And one that's
like Canada. Just, and Mexico.
I got the Mexico one, you know, because we sometimes go down to, you know, Rocky Point or whatever and get some tacos.
I've never been
tacos
over there.
Hey, man, you know, got to go down and get some tacos, man.
How are the tacos over there?
They're pretty good. I got to be honest. I mean, there's a taco stand on like every street corner. Wow. You know, it's like, you know, it's like Walgreens here, every street corner. There's a taco shop down there, every street corner. But they're pretty good, man. You know, the cool thing about Rocky Point is it's very touristy. So they cater to the tourists. So they're not trying to get people sick. So, you know, they don't want to.
That's bad for business.
That's bad for business, bro.
What happened to Ben? I don't know. He had a bad taco and we never saw him again.
Yeah, this message coming live to you from CNN. Do not go to Rocky Point. Yeah, they don't want that, man. But
I did get tacos, though. I remember I listened to Jason last time and got the vampiro, but now I got the tacos, and the 6 tacos aren't enough. It's $10.
6-pack of tacos, I'm telling you, man.
20% off.
Dude, half the time I go back for seconds, man. I'll go eat another 5 tacos. Yeah, man. I mean,
the guy I was with on a budget, though, he only ate 3, so I felt bad. I already felt bad eating 6, you know.
Well, if you go on Taco Tuesday, I think if you flash your Yelp, you know, check-in, I think you get a free taco, man. So let him know next time.
Really? Because it was 20% off.
Yeah. Oh, but you'll still get the free taco, man.
I needed that free taco.
Yelp.
I think it's like $2.20.
Just do a check-in on Yelp, show to the lady, and dude, free taco, man.
Because our drink was $3. So I just said, I'll just have water.
Water, man. That's it.
Did you go to that? Did you get water from that place?
I did.
Do you have to pump it?
Well, no. They've got the soda machine. Then in the soda machine, you hit the little button for water. But you can use the pump. They do have a pump water thingy.
I tried that. It's like a well, like Jacob's well. I mean, I was there for 10 minutes trying to get water out of there. I'm not even. I was thirsty just doing it. So,
And I guess that's the point, right? They're trying to
cut back on that iced tea that I should have got. Anyway, all right, Ben. If you want to go ahead and get us started here, and we have a great topic today about humility, and I think it's a great. You know, I will want to say I'm the humblest person I know, but that is not humility. So we're excited about this topic. God's been working in our lives with this, and I don't know anyone alive that does not struggle with the sin of pride. And so hopefully we can get this across to you, and it'll speak to your heart as it spoke to ours as we prepared this episode. But I'm excited about what we have to share today with you.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those episodes and topics that's going to be... maybe as Sasso said earlier, rip your face off. I don't know. It's going to cut to the heart for sure. You know, one thing I want to mention as we get started is that as we go through this, we're going to be talking about a lot of verses and examples. But I just want to preface this whole episode by saying that, you know, look, me and Sasso, we're both, you know, sinners, and we both struggle. Yeah. We both struggle with things like humility and pride. And so by no means in any of this do we feel that we're above anybody or above anything. We're sinners just like anybody else. And so I just want to preface that, make sure it doesn't sound like we're being prideful in any of what we're sharing, but it is something that we want to challenge others. I know the scriptures say, you know, take the plank out of your own eye before you take the splinter out of your brother's eye, but that's not the case here. What we're trying to do here is just really encourage and challenge. So just wanted to preface it. So, you know, and if you take a look around, you know, in the news and in social media, you'll be hard pressed to find somebody who's humble and behaving with humility. You know, the message out there is for you to be heard or to be known. Yep. You know, you're looking for prestige, you know, because you need to be somebody. You know, then you have those that would frown on humility because to be humble, it kind of means like to be weak or perhaps not confident, you know? So that's not the case. And so hopefully as we go through this episode, we're going to just unleash and show how humility works and what it is and show some examples of what it is and what it is not. And so hopefully, we can encourage you.
Oh, awesome. Well, Ben, I like to go back to the old 1828 Webster's Dictionary. I think it's a pretty awesome book. It does have Bible verses to define a lot of words. I imagine that was a source in those days, where now it's sometimes we get convoluted with words that are made up. Yeah. And just different things. So just Webster's Dictionary of Humility is lowliness of mind, a modest estimate of one's worth, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abatement. I think of a deep sense of one's unworthiness, just like you said about Twitter and you know, Facebook, just different social media. It's constantly promoting self-promotion. A Facebook life is not a real life. That's what I want to be, but it's not who I am. It's me with makeup. But
well, you know, and that's the thing. You know, you see that even in, and I'm not trying to judge or anything, but you see that even in churches. You see, I call it the Facebook profile, and people, everybody looks like they're doing awesome, and it's like, you know, sometimes I wish we'd kind of get a little bit, you know, beneath the iceberg a little bit. And
Sunday morning Christian, right?
Yeah.
The suit and the Bible. And
that's it, man.
The bigger the Bible, the more spiritual I am. That's why my Bible's big, by the way. But anyway. So what does humility look like? What does that look like in the Bible? True humility. John 3:30 says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Mm. We once had a preacher at the Bill Rice Ranch when I went there, and we loved him, and this was our verse for the week, and he gave 8-minute messages. That's why we loved him. We should have loved him because he preached the word. But this is the truth there, because he said this verse, and we're like, oh, man, and we memorized it. But I didn't take it to heart until I started to realize that in order for me to be humble, I must decrease and give him his proper place. But the problem with our lives is that this is the exact opposite. We typically increase and we decrease God to make ourselves feel better. We feel the need to decrease God in order to promote self, or we try to minimize him to our low standard of what sin is. So our sin seems less like sin, so we're comfortable with it. But so I asked you today, what is the standard you're using to define things? Is it God's standard or is it your standard? Mm-hmm. Are we saying I am better than most? Or as Ben spoke about last episode, about the episode of the publican and the Pharisee, are you like the publican? Are you like the Pharisee? And he even gave a story of someone that even in that story was not even convicted,
I think I said that in the last episode, I think I called him the beggar, but it was actually the publican, which a publican is a tax collector, right? So I had to go back and look at that. I'm like, oh man, I think I said the wrong phrase, but
anyway, I even asked Rebecca, is it, it's a parable, right? She goes, yes, it's a parable. Like, oh, okay, so she was fact checking me over here.
Yep, yep, yep.
She was a Snopes. yeah, good wife will tell you things that you need to hear. So Proverbs 15:33, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Yeah. We tend to think honor comes first. Like, if you honor me, then you know, then everybody must show me humility. Mm. Where God's honor requires that we show humility first. We are so backwards in our thinking. We often tend to drift towards the way of the world instead of God's way.
Yeah. Well, and you know, to get things kind of kicked off here, I want to start off with an example of what humility is not. And so I think I'm going to probably, you know, step on some toes here. So we got to break out the steel-toe boots. Steel-toe boots, man. I know. But so the example I'm going to give, and again, just prefacing again, I'm not above anybody here. These are just facts. I'm just stating some facts here, but it's a prime example. But back in 2016, the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA championship. Now, we all know the Cleveland Cavaliers, they've got LeBron James, okay? LeBron James happened to be on the team in that particular year, and in an interview on ESPN, he said this, and I quote, "That one right there made me the greatest player of all time." Now, he was speaking to the championship that he had just won. Okay, so now we can debate over who is the greatest of all time, but see, that's not the point. The point is this: he is a self-proclaimed GOAT. And for those of you that don't know what a GOAT is, the GOAT is, it's an acronym for greatest of all time. Okay. But why does he get to make that judgment? I mean, isn't that kind of self-serving?
Yeah, man. I remember when he first came to the Heat before the championship and he was saying, not one, not two, not three. But it's not so much we're bashing LeBron, but that's the culture that we're in. Everybody's the GOAT.
Yeah.
So there's truly no GOAT because everybody is. It doesn't make sense.
Yep. No, that's right. And it's funny. I saw a t-shirt somewhere and it said that the greatest of all time is actually a sheep or something, or a shepherd, something like that. I thought that was kind of cool. But you know, what does the Bible have to say about pride and boasting? Because, you know, if we literally look at it, I mean, pride is kind of the opposite of humility, you know? So what does it have to say about boasting and self-glorification? So I'm going to quick rapid fire through some verses here. And then I'm going to look at another example, a biblical example. So in James 4:6, it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Yeah. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. And Colossians 3:12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then in Romans 12:3, it says, for by grace given to me, I say everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So these are some really good verses to kind of chew on. And you've got to kind of really consider yourself, you know, is this speaking of you? I mean, do you have a haughty heart? Are you clothed in humility? I mean, these are things that you need to ask yourself. So I'm going to jump into a quick example, biblical example of pride. It's one of the prime examples I see here. And if we read in Isaiah 14:12-15, we read about Satan and his self-proclamation that got him kicked out of heaven and on track for judgment in the pit of hell. So here's what Satan proclaimed in those verses. He said, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I mean, all you see is pride in those verses from quoting from what Satan was saying. And so, yeah, that literally got him, you know, kicked out of heaven, and he brought a third of the angels with him. And obviously they chose that as well. And so I want to take a look at one more example here. And if you guys remember the story of Pharaoh, and this is back in, I believe, around the book of Exodus, around there. And it says, you know, it talks about how Pharaoh had a hardened heart. You know, there, you know, you'd think that after the first nine plagues, that Pharaoh would have got the hint. You know,
get it.
However, the scripture tells us that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and ultimately God hardened Pharaoh's heart, which is an interesting concept, and we're not going to get into all of that today. But so just think, if Pharaoh would have humbled himself after Moses turned the water to blood, the Egyptians, they would not have suffered the rest of the nine plagues, including the death of all the firstborn, which was the 10th plague. You might even think, but man, if God hardened Pharaoh's heart, why should Egypt suffer? And ultimately, the answer to that is God is sovereign, and yet men are responsible for their actions. And how the two connect, I can't, that I don't know. That is definitely a mystery. But, you know, so I can't tell you how the two connect. But the apostle says this in Romans 9:18. He says, so then he, speaking of God, has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. So it's just an interesting concept. But the fact of the matter is, if Pharaoh would have been humble, then the plagues just wouldn't have happened, but his heart was hardened, you know? So, you know, just thinking about, you know, hardened hearts and how, you know, people are just so hardened in their ways and it leads to pride ultimately. Amen. You know, so an example of this, you know, Sasso and I, we both live in Phoenix. I think we've mentioned this on the podcast before, which is obviously it's dry desert.
And dry heat.
It's super dry, especially this summer. And, you know, it might even seem kind of foolish, but we actually attempt to grow trees and grass and plants here, which requires digging. So now digging a small hole is quite a bit of work because the ground is very dry and hard. So again, speaking to hardened hearts, you know, in Jeremiah 4:3, it says this, it says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. And so our hearts need to be tender and be ready to be in submission to God. So my question to you is, where are you, Christian? Are you tender? Do you need to break up that fallow ground? So we're going to get an example here. Sasso is going to give us an example of what it means to be humble. Okay, so we have some amazing examples in scripture coming up here.
Hey, Ben, I want to go back to Romans 12:3. When you, the verse that says, for the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And I think many times when we get puffed up with our own, you know, even LeBron James, who made LeBron James? It was God Almighty.
That's right.
And for anything that we do, we think we get puffed up because we know something.
Yeah.
When we really don't know anything. And God's like, I gave you that knowledge, or I gave you that opportunity, or I allowed you to hear the word, or I allowed you to be in church. And we're given all these things from God, but yet we fail to forget, and are, just like as you said, our heart gets like the hard ground here. And just to reiterate that, my son Nate was supposed to dig some holes in the summer for a pull-up bar. And I will say that the holes are still not dug. And have a friend, Tom, who said, yeah, I'm going to go over one day. I'm going to dig those holes for you. He hasn't done it either, but it's not his job. But the ground is so hard, and it's a day-by-day process because it's so hard to get dig. And that's how we get as Christians. God can dig in our hearts if we don't, you know, humble ourselves.
That's right. That's
so the examples we're going to go into, Luke 7:37, it says, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Mm-hmm. Now, they're saying this ointment was like a year's worth of wages.
It was
very, very pricey. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just Obsession or a perfume that you'd buy at Macy's or something like that. It was very precious. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and didn't wipe them with the very hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And she had a lot of flack for this. People were upset and said, you should have fed the poor with that money. There's all kinds of things we could have done.
I think it was actually Judas that said that, right? Judas, it was Judas. And he was so jealous, man. Like,
who trusted this guy anyway? From the beginning, we have some bad things about Judas, that he was not the best character. But so he complained about that. But, you know, just doing a study on that, when you're brokenhearted, then you realize how precious the Savior is. You realize what you've been saved from. You realize the predicament that you were in prior to him saving you. Mm-hmm. And this woman saw Jesus and how precious he was and wanted to take her. She was a sinner. And it's what he said. Mm-hmm. I didn't come to seek those that were, I came to seek the lost.
Yep.
He didn't come to seek those that already knew him.
Right.
And so her heart was broken and she was humble. That was humility to use your hair. I used to have a lot more hair. My forehead has increased. It has gotten larger in the past 15 years. But I'm sure she had her, in those days, the woman's hair was just something to behold. Even now, I would say. But yeah, this beautiful hair that she did his feet with, very, very broken. And the more you dwell on him and what he has done for you, the more you realize who you truly are.
Yeah.
It puts you in your place of humility when you realize who God is and his holiness. And a broken heart is a heart that is a humble heart.
Yep.
You can't have a broken heart without a humble heart. It does not come. It's God's way, my way. So that's a human example. But let's talk about the master himself. Let's talk about God. John 13, verses 4 through 5. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now here we have an example of humility in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the feet are, in those days, they walked around in sandals. They didn't have these nice socks that we have or the shoes that covered. I got to be honest with you. So I get pedicures. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to keep it real.
I did not know that, bro.
Yeah, I hate to reveal that.
Tacos and pedicures, bro.
Tacos and pedicures.
I know what. I get you a gift card next time.
If it was the same day, it would be perfect. I can eat tacos while they do pedicure. And I got to say, when I go get the pedicure, the first time I went, I was embarrassed to take my socks off because my feet are that bad. And the lady, she talked me into, like, it's okay. We've seen it all. And I say, took my socks off, and her eyes got really wide, and she said, put them in the water. Put them in the water and soak. So my feet are pretty nasty. They get the hedge clippers out there, and they get to work on them. And instead of, you know, they had those fish, they need like a shark in there to get my get that stuff right. My mom used to do it for me. Thank you, Mom. She used to do my feet. She'd get the scalpel and I don't know if she barred my dad's belt sander, but they're pretty bad, Ben. So I think of here Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I would have been quite embarrassed for Jesus to wash my feet, as more, even more so than I am for the people that do it for a living.
Yeah.
They've seen plenty of feet and they still cringe when they see mine. But just what a picture of humility that he was showing. And the servanthood as he performed the job that was considered less desirable. Even so, I believe it was Peter that said, "Nor don't you can't do my feet." And he said, "Well, if you can't do your feet, you have no place." And he said, "Okay, wash my whole body."
Yeah.
And he was missing the point.
Right, right.
If Jesus washed feet, what should we be willing to do? Is there a job that is below us? Are you too proud to serve others? Do you lack humility in this area? I mean, I once heard someone say, we were talking about a ministry in the church, and I talked about a van, you know, van ministry that we have. And they said, "Hey, I used to do that, but that's below me now, and I've moved on." And honestly, I don't know of a job that God would have me to do that's below anything that he would have me to do. If he washed feet, if he said, "It's awesome for this Sunday, I want you to wash feet," I may ask him, like Gideon, "I'm going to turn the fleece over if it's wet." Yeah. I would, but if that's what God would have me to do, God help us to be willing to wash feet if that's what God has called us to do.
Yeah, no, that's some good stuff there. I mean, you know, you think about, I mean, some of the lesser ministry type jobs, you know, cleaning bathrooms at the church, or maybe, you know, I know my boys have done this before where they have to take the big bag of diapers, you know, from the nursery, you know, to the,
that's brutal.
Yeah. You know, so, but I mean, those ministries, they matter. And, amen. But you know, it's, you know, are you humble enough to, you know, say, "Yes, I would do that. I would clean bathrooms. I'd wipe down toilets." You know, that's humility. Definitely humility. Yeah. Got to be honest, bro, that pedicure thing's kind of interesting. I might have to, get some, details on that.
We'll do a live podcast from the pedicures.
So coming off the example that Sasso just gave us with Jesus, I want to give another example of Jesus in his humility. And if we read Philippians 2:5-11, it says this. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So, you know, when it talks about when Jesus emptied himself, it's talking about his humility. You know, what an amazing example of humility. Jesus, who is God, he left the splendors of heaven and he lowered himself. Or as the verses read, you know, and describe here, he emptied himself. In other words, he humbled himself. He did this of his own volition because, to put it simply, we aren't worth saving.
Amen.
But Jesus looked on us with love, compassion, and mercy, and he came to save and seek and save the lost, just like Sosso mentioned earlier. So I've got another example here in the scriptures about a man who was humbled. And so if we go back into the book of Daniel, we read about a king named Nebuchadnezzar, or as I like to call him, King Nebi. So in Daniel 4, we read about how Nebuchadnezzar was exalting God. So it's interesting because the start of the chapter, it reads this. And so Daniel 4 verses 2-3, it says this, and this is, quote, Nebuchadnezzar speaking, "It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation." Sounds pretty good, right?
Sounds legit.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like he's praising God, but you humble. See, old King Nebi was not always humble. In fact, if you read all of chapter 4, you will find that Nebuchadnezzar was extremely prideful as he boasted. And in fact, you can read it in Daniel 4, verse 30, which reads, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty powers as royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" And then the funniest thing happens. God turned King Nebi into Nebi the cow. I mean, he literally got turned into a cow. He was eating grass. He was walking around on all fours, you know. You know, the Bible says that he ate grass as an ox for 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, this is what Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel 4:37. He said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he's able to humble." So it's just an amazing story of how King Nebuchadnezzar, because there's other stories in there where he raises up an idol of himself and he commands people to bow down and worship him whenever an instrument plays. And it's amazing to see the amount of pride. But guess what? That same pride that Nebuchadnezzar has is instilled in every one of us. We all have it. And we all have to deal with it.
Amen, Ben. I love that verse from Philippians when he talks about every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I think there's people that are adamant that God not going to get a hold of me, people in the world. And I was talking to a buddy today, and unfortunately, he's doing some time. And I told him about this topic, and he said, "Brother, let me tell you, I'm here because God's humbled me." Mm-hmm. He spent 20 years away from the Lord and said, I want to go live my life and do what I want. And God showed me, and he said, "But I'm grateful to be here because I have a relationship back with God." And he just said, "Just tell him, hey, you're going to be humbled one way or the other.
Yeah,
you might as well just surrender your heart to God, as we talked about last week."
Amen.
So, great point. I love that verse because it's at the end of the day, we're all going to bow,
amen,
on our face to God. So I like to. There's a verse that I really love that I quote to my son sometimes because he's a teenager, and teenagers get a little out of control sometimes, and he has these ambitions, and he thinks he's Charles Barkley and LeBron all in one, and I tell him, I said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall," and that's me too. We sometimes just build ourselves up, and the higher we go, the bigger the fall because we're building ourselves up. So I love that verse in Proverbs there, and this reminds me of one of my favorite characters in all the Bible. I know it's weird that people probably don't believe who this is, but I love Samson.
Yeah,
as a kid, I used to listen to him on the tape, and I had a little book I would follow, and I was just enamored with his power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a kid more so, I loved how he got revenge on his enemies, and I was impressed with the strength God gave him. He made Arnold Schwarzenegger look like a wimp. He could do these pinky pushes if he wanted to. He's a man. He was a man's man.
Yep.
But the physical strength was God given.
That's right.
But it led him to believe it was all him. In Judges 16:20, the Bible says, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee." This is Delilah. "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not," so he forgot that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
"But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house." And I don't know about you, but I couldn't imagine a humbling experience of a powerful man of poking your eyes out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought about that as a kid. I'm like, that's disgusting. You know, what did they do with those eyes? But he didn't even realize what had happened to him. This was, I think, in Samson's life, such a humbling moment. That he was relieved of his eyes and became a prisoner of the very enemy that he fought against. So let's talk about, how did Samson get to that point? How did he get to that point of pride in his life? So these are some things that he did. These are some achievements that he did in his lifetime that impressed me as a little boy and still, honestly, still do. And she, I mean, if you start where it started out for him, she said unto him, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." So three times they had tied him up and he was playing with her. He knew that this would have no control over him, and he just simply shook himself and just broke off these things. For me, as older I get, you could probably use a shoestring and bound me up, and I couldn't escape that. But he just simply just shook himself and just say, "Hey, your device against me is not going to work." Then also another thing he did, he just basically, "Hey, I'm going to take the doors and posts of the city, and I'm just going to put them up. I'm going to carry them and put them up on a hill." It was leg day and arm day for him, and he got it all done. I think of the time where he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Amazing. I mean, we used to have this old, I hope it was a cow jawbone on our roof when I was a kid, and my dad would change the cooler pads, and I would pretend that I was Samson. I would swing that thing when I hear these stories, and I think it's a cow. I don't think it was a donkey or a human. It was too big. You're okay, Dad. And also another thing he did is he caught 300 foxes and took firebrands. He turned tail to tail, put them on fire, and he used these method to burn down the Philistines.
How do you catch 300 foxes? I mean,
I don't know. Like, how do they not bite you?
I can't even catch a cricket when I'm trying to kill the cricket.
My dog has 12 teeth and he still bites me. I can't grab him without him biting me. He has 12 teeth. I don't know how I did it, but these were some great feats that he did. He slew 30 men just to take their garments because he lost a bet. He committed all these great acts. Even the lion that went against him, he slew, he killed him. Pretty powerful king of the jungle, right? Yeah. He committed these great acts, but he soon forgot where his power came from. He thought it was all him. He got big-headed. He got puffed up. But you see here when his eyes were plucked out that Samson comes to a point in his life where he's finally humbled. He's grinding the house. He cries out to God in Judges 16:26, and he said, "Samson said unto the lad," so he was in such a position that he was being led around by a little boy that held him by the hand, and he said, "Suffer me that I may fill the pillars whereupon this house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, that behold, while Samson, they were making fun of him, made him sport. Not only were they, he was humbled, but they were like, "Look at that guy, look at Samson," just laughing at him, teasing him, mocking him. It doesn't say that he got angry, it doesn't say that he was upset, he was already to the point where he was pretty humbled. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." I don't see a verse in here, Ben, that talks about prior to this. I think once they put my eyes out, I probably would have been to this point.
Yeah.
But it seems Samson took him a little bit longer to get to that point. And he started to realize his power did not lie in his hair. And that these verses talk about his hair began to grow. So this was not the next day. This was a process that God was working in his life. His power did not lie. He realized his power is not in his hair, but it came from the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
We often get this way as well, as we become prideful in our own spirituality. I put those air quotes, spiritually, and don't even realize that the Spirit of the Lord is not with us. We're doing things out of our flesh and our own abilities, and we're not trusting in God. We're not praying. We're not asking for his help. So that's Samson. That's not a good example of humility. You don't want to go through things to God to humble you, but whatever it takes sometimes is what God would have for you. Just as we talk about, every knee will bow.
Yeah.
And there's another man that was, he was Saul turned into Paul. I think he's a great example. We think of, look at Acts 9 and his conversion when he was thrown to the ground.
Yeah.
I remember on the playground being hit in the face before, being punched, getting into an altercation, and being on the ground, and I was pretty humble, I gotta tell you.
Did you see some lights?
Yeah, I did. You got white real quick. Like, whoa, what happened? Who turned? You know, you got a big shiner there. So I know when I was on the ground, I wasn't thinking how bad I was. I was thinking, man, my cheek really hurts right now. And it felt like it was going. So Philippians 3:8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. And this is Paul, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He gave up all worldly endeavors. Yeah. He was a smart man. He gave up his goals. He pursued the things that were above, not the things that he desired. He was humble in this endeavor, did not seek his glory, but he sought God's glory. Oftentimes in our life, do I pursue God's glory? Am I surrendered to God? What have me to do? And in your life, are you pursuing your own glory, your own status, your own Facebook story, whatever you would put up there? Are you just surrendered to what God would have you to do?
Well, you know, and I think it's interesting too, because in a lot of instances, I think we tend to do things in our own strength, and it might not even necessarily be out of maybe a real prideful state, but it's just where, you know, like for me, I'm a fixer guy. You come to me with a problem, the first thing I want to do is fix it. And so sometimes I'm trying to fix things, you know, and a lot of times I don't look to the Lord for, you know, for strength, for wisdom, you know, and I'm doing it out of my own strength. And you know what? It's funny. A lot of times there's things I can't get done or I can't do, and I get real frustrated. And then I'm thinking, man, well, I didn't even take this to the Lord, you know? And so it's just that, I guess it is, and I guess in a sense it is a sense of pride, because I think I can fix anything. Yeah. But it's just, it's interesting, because it's just everyday little things. And we don't take it to the Lord, you know, and he wants to hear from us. He wants to commune with us. He wants us to go to him with these little things.
Man, as I was, Rebecca wanted to, we have a bathroom in our house that has a perfectly fine sink, perfectly fine everything. And, but my wife wanted a new sink in there because it's to match the motif of the wall we did. And it was fine. And so she said, I got a new sink, and I'm like, hey, no problem. I'll be able to take this off. It seems pretty easy. You know, the instructions seem easy. And I got in there, and I had trouble with it. And there's a little bit of space between the sink and the wall, and my fat little hand couldn't fit in there. And I got mad at her, and I said, what's wrong with this sink? There's nothing wrong with it. Why don't we just keep it? It's fine. There's nothing wrong. It's 4 years old. I got really upset with her, and I got mad at the kids. And it was my pride because I couldn't figure it out. And it's funny because I borrowed all kind of tools. I bought tools. I went to Home Depot several times. They knew me by name, said, yeah, go to the plumbing aisle. There's another tool you can buy. And I bought everything. And finally, I gave up, and I started asking for help because I'm not like you. I'm not a fix-it guy. I'm more like Wreck-It Ralph. So finally, he brought me the tool, and it actually worked. And it's funny how God humbles us. It's just in the little things of a sink. Mm-hmm. And I show people a picture that really know how to fix things, and they're like, yeah, you just use this wrench, and it's so easy. Well, it wasn't easy for me, you know. So I hear you, what you say, that sometimes we just forget that we need God in all things. And I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 15:9. It says, for I am this is Paul talking about himself. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And Paul was not just some simply uneducated guy that was just wanted to do work in the church, but he was educated by the great Gamaliel, but he did not view himself in an earthly view, but he saw himself how God saw him. Another verse that talks about Paul's humility is 1 Timothy 1:15, where it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief.
Wow.
I don't know about you, Ben, but I don't know if you've ever heard anybody walk into church and just say, hey, heads up, I just want to let you know that, hey, pastor, can I say something? Go to the front. And say, I just want to let you guys all know that I am the chiefest of all sinners. Have you ever heard that, Ben?
No, I've never heard that. No.
I don't know that I would go up there to say that, but I think some of the reply of the people from the church would be like, man, I'm sure glad I'm not like that guy. I'm not perfect, but man, I'm not that bad.
Well, you know, and I'll be honest with you though, like, you know, and maybe it doesn't happen in that format, but I think sometimes we ought to be honest. And, you know, I know the Bible talks about, you know, being accountable to one another and that kind of thing. But I think we should be honest with things that we struggle with, because again, going to church or going somewhere and we have that Facebook profile, you know, where everything's awesome and it looks like, amen, you know, but you know, sometimes you share with somebody a struggle that you have and it resonates and you guys can encourage each other. And I think that's part of what the body of Christ needs to do. It's part of discipleship, you know, and that kind of thing. So I think it's very important for us to be honest. Let's get real sometimes. I think it would behoove us to do that more often.
Amen. I remember we were in a meeting with someone, And he said the two things he struggles with is pride and lust. And I would say that's pretty accurate for a lot of men.
Yeah.
You know, that that's the two things, and that's, we just got to be transparent.
Yeah.
And not excuse what we do, but get help and live God's way and hold each other accountable.
That's right.
And I think we all look spiritually dressed in our Sunday best, but are we clothed with humility by the standard in which God sees us in? To me, that's preaching time. You know, are you real? Are you being honest? Are you holding yourself to someone else? Or are you comparing yourself to God, the ultimate standard? And Ben mentioned this verse, the Philippians 2:7-8, but talking about Jesus Christ here, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Just think, he took upon himself the form of me, man, flesh. Where he thirsted, where he hungered, where he wept, where he had things that I dealt with, he dealt with himself. I mean, to me, that's pretty humbling state to be in, to be.
Well, I know pastors preach this many times, and he's mentioned this even, you know, about Jesus when he's born. I mean, he was a baby, you know, he had to have his diapers changed. I mean, that's, you know, so that's humility, definitely humility. Cause I mean, it's the God of heaven, God here on the earth, that's, you know,
unimaginable.
Yeah.
And just think, this is to be in the beauty of heaven, have to come down to be like a man on earth here. And just, have you ever worried about your reputation? I have. I mean, I think of high school, and all the things that I thought people thought about me when honestly they never thought about me. Like, hey, if I wear this shirt, this girl will like it. And she didn't even know who I was. You know, my own wife had to convince her that I liked her because she picked every boy out of the class except me. And all the things that I worried about reputation-wise, that doesn't matter. And oftentimes we get so concerned about what people think about us instead of being humble and saying, God, what do you think about me? Ever been concerned with what others think of me as opposed to, hey, God, just get real with my heart. He knows my heart anyway. He has knowledge of all things, and he knows where I'm at. And just closing here with this great topic here, Ben, of humility, I'm going to go back to the verse you stated earlier, 1 Peter 5:5, where the Bible says, likewise, you younger, submit. That word submit means being subordinate to obey. Mm-hmm. So obey yourselves unto the elder. The older I get, the more I appreciate this verse. Yea, all of you be subject, so to be under, to obey one to another, and be clothed with humility. That's to have a lowliness of mind, to be modest in your thinking. Excuse me. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty God, that he may exalt you in due time. Mm-hmm. I think of this, we use this verse in Freedom That Lasts in the addiction ministry we do on Friday nights, that you'll never get help if you don't humble yourself and admit that you need God, that you have a problem, that you're tired of doing it your way. You need to do it God's way. If you don't humble yourself, God can't exalt you. God cannot help you. There's nothing. You're on your own.
Yeah.
So clothed with humility. Wow, this is not something I wake up with in the morning, Ben, and say, hey, you know, I'm a humble guy, and if I am, then I'm not humble, right? I need to go to the humble wardrobe there and put on humility. Mm-hmm. Definitely something that I'm not born with, something I need help with on a moment-by-moment basis.
Same here, brother, same here.
So how much better would the world would be if each one of us was subject one to another? If I said, nope, Ben, you first. Nope, Salsa, you first. We wouldn't be fighting about things. We would definitely come to agreement a lot quicker. So today I ask you, where are you on the scale of humility? Are you on the, when Samson was in his heyday, are you on that Samson part of the scale? Are you on the scale of the side with no reputation? Jesus who did not care about reputation, but was here for the Father's purpose. What has God convicted you about on this podcast? Are you one that says, this is just the way I am? Or are you the one that says, as David stated in Psalms 139, verses 23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen.
Are you willing to allow God to search you, to go to the corners where nobody's been, where you know that you have problems? Are you willing to allow him to change you? Are you willing to say, God, I'm not humble? And I think that's true of all of us. We need God every day to show us exactly what we are. We're a wicked wretch that's just saved by grace. So stay tuned with us. Hang in there with us. I appreciate all those that have listened. We will be dealing with godly repentance, which requires humility and surrender. And then Ben's going to have some closing notes here as well.
We know we've covered a lot of ground here with regard to humility and surrender. And just like Sasso mentioned, we're going to be covering repentance and in a future podcast episode. In fact, we were going to do it this particular episode, but we had a pretty good response with the surrender episode, and that we thought that humility was sort of a kind of a complementary topic, so we thought we would cover that. But anyway, again, you know, you might be feeling some conviction after some of these verses that we read, and I pray that you know maybe the Holy Spirit is moving. You know, James 1:23-24 says this: "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like." And so I pray that God's word will not just convict you, but motivate you to action. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to tell you guys, thank you guys for listening. We're so thankful for you guys listening. But before we go, I want to leave you with a resource. So my brother here, Sasso, he's got a daily devotional blog. Okay, so he literally writes a devotional every single day. So I don't know if you guys know what blogging is like or what writing is like, but I mean, if I try to write every single day, I think I would fail miserably. But anyway, I encourage you guys, check it out. Okay. You can visit the website, stayinthefight.online. That's stayinthefight.online. And when you get to the site, before you read one line of content, subscribe to the newsletter so that you'll get the daily devotional in your email. It takes a lot of effort to post every day. Trust me, I know this. But I think you guys will be blessed. And I'll also link to it in the show notes. So again, thank you guys again. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And we are now active on Twitter and Instagram, so be sure to follow us. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.